I've worked with a lot of men over the years, and had a lot of employees over the years, and I keep a list of those that I would enjoy working with again, and I find them as cream of the crop, and it's a short list, okay? And Brother Joe, you're at the top. I appreciate you greatly as a man of God, and if you've got anything you need done, He's the best guy to call. I really appreciate it, Joe. And Susan talked about her going one-on-one on the ladies. And I remember the first time she decided to do that, she set aside an hour and a half and went with this one young lady. And they had breakfast, and they talked, and then they had dinner, and then they talked. And I think it was about 8 o'clock, 8 hours, I mean, that her little talk was over. And then she got home, and she's on the phone. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to Blanca again. So that went on the phone. So if you happen to get a chance to go out, take the day, and because it'll be filled. I want to read five verses. Let's start Matthew 28, verse that was read this morning, a verse that is read in nearly every mission conference. I want to read these verses, and then you refer back to them as we go through what I have tonight. Matthew 28, the most used in mission conference, 28:19, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2 and 15. Got to get verse that you've all heard. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then go to Galatians 6. The first we read in Matthew is speaking about teaching, and of course, the other side of teaching is somebody learning, obviously. The second is preparing and getting prepared and practiced, ready to do the ministry. And this third one is to dominate. Chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in him alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." We're being commanded to get good at something. We are expected, and we have a responsibility to dominate that part that God has given us to do. Hebrews 5:12, if you would. In Hebrews said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as you need of milk and not of strong meat." We have to become teachers. So many times we think that the great purpose of God is that we get saved, but it's the first step. It's not the end of what God's plan is. It's our responsibility, as we've talked this morning, that we become the teacher, which means we have to be the student, which means then we teach and pass it on. And one more in John 3:30 talks about the attitude that a teacher should have. And that gets me into where I'd like to go with this today. John 3:30. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that tonight you talk to us, you speak to us, that you give us the understanding of what we are to do. Give us the tools in which to do that with, and the desire and the determination that we be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name. As Christians, we have many responsibilities, and a lot of people don't want to use that word, responsibilities, obligations, but we have been saved, and as the whole meeting this morning was, we're debtors, and we have a responsibility for some things. First of all, we have to focus on our personal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. You get before the Lord, and you're not going to be able to blame your pastor, your wife, or your absent husband, because you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our physical experiences in life ought to turn into the unction to have a closer walk with the Lord. And then they become the proof that we've done that. Yeah. As they give us trials and test our faith. Amen. The proving our faith. The next thing is that we are responsible to the church. That is that's the principal purpose of God, is to put together us as believers into a church to be presented to Christ as his bride. And we have a responsibility to the church and to other Christians. And that's where all these gifts come in that Paul talks about. The gifts aren't an item, it's a person. It's a counselor who has he's the gift of counsel. You have a teacher, you have the preacher, you have all these different gifts that Paul talks about, and it's to the edification of the church. And that's a responsibility that we should take up. We have a responsibility to the unsaved, as it was talked this morning. And that's what mission conference is. We owe a debt, and that debt is paid by passing the gospel on to someone else. And we start that with our testimony. We have a responsibility to put out a testimony that people say, that guy's weird. What's happened to him? He's different. They need to see that the power of God in our lives makes a difference in our lives in so many different ways, and that's a whole message or two in itself. And then you have the responsibility to those new ones that get saved as they come in. And I never realized the importance of it until I got to Mexico, and I saw that when people got saved, they didn't have a family that said, boy, he got into something crazy, and we're kind of nonchalant, tolerant. There is no tolerance. When we were there 37 years ago, you got saved, you didn't have friends, you didn't have a family. We have instances, I can give you names and dates, when the new believer was grabbed and thrown out of his house with his Bible on top of him. Don't come back until you get back right with the Virgin and with the church, with the Catholic Church. Over and over again. Here in the States, people are a little more tolerant. But what is the best defense against the bad influence you come out of if it isn't a new family that receives you? Amen. We have a responsibility to take these new believers and give them a family that gives them the teaching, the edification that they so desperately need. But what I want to talk about you tonight is something I preached on a while back, and it's about passing the mantle. And the verses that we read, I think, go with the 7 points that I want to show you that I've come up with over the last year and a half as we've worked there in Pachuca to make this more of a practical experience. We talk about a lot of theory, but how are you going to actually do it? You know, you say, I'm going to go build a house. Well, have you thought about anything, or you just got this vision of this mansion you're going to build and you haven't got a clue what tool you need or how you're going to use it? And so, being a practical person, the first thing I begin to notice about Elijah and Elisha is the passing of the mantle wasn't until the whirlwind. And a thing I've seen in Christianity so many times, the mantle doesn't get passed till somebody dies or is incapable. And that's great. Somebody else picks it up. But that's destined for zero growth. The passing of the mantle, we need to take a little more proactive experience with that and say, it's every time I can find somebody I can teach something and pass it to them at that moment, and I continue on. That's how you get growth. And so I began to consider what needs to take place. And I've come up with two circles. One is a circle that goes around the teacher. And it's, you start at a point, you come back to the same point, and you're ready to start again. The inside circle is the student. And I've got seven places that I want to show you tonight, major places. You come up with a whole lot more. But what has to happen at these seven points so that we are replacing ourselves without having to leave completely? Maybe what will happen in the end is you'll teach somebody, and then God will say, it's time for you to go in as a student. I want you to learn something different. I want you to take these seven steps as a student, and then you have a new ministry. And so that's what we're going to try to do tonight. The first thing, you need to see it as a process of getting someone and getting them into another ministry. It isn't haphazard. You're saved. Here, read the book, the Bible completely, and now you're a pastor, or you're a missionary, or you're whatever. You're complete. There has to be a process that takes place. And everybody's different. Everybody's going to take a little more time. Some people are going to take less. Some people are going to come in, like I think what happened with Paul when he was preaching, and the Pharisees and the priest got saved, and they already knew the Bible, and they were able to put it together, and they were no doubt were more help now that they saw that Jesus Christ was actually the Messiah. But we're dealing with people down in Mexico that can't find the New Testament. And so it takes a different teaching curve. But whatever the case is, you got to have a process to go through that. And that's what I do. And it's with a purpose. It isn't just to fill my day, but I have a purpose. I want to take this student as a teacher, and I want to get this student motivated and help him understand and do the circle that he comes out as a teacher. And the student needs to think, I got to learn something here that I can be useful to the Lord.
Amen.
And you need to, both of you go into this thing together saying, I'm going to help you get to the point where you are comfortable in your ministry of whatever it might be. And this is women and men, young people, even children. There's ministries abounding. There's very few people that are willing to do it, and even less that are capable. We're not teaching. We're not preparing. We're not trying to learn. It goes both individuals. It's a planned effect. We're going to plan something here. We're going to do something with an organization, and it's going to be practical. There's so much impracticality that you don't get nowhere. You know, you got this great idea, but there's no plan to get there. And you need to practice it, something that you're going to have to get good at. You don't get excellence by accident. You don't get good at anything just because you read a book. You got to get out and do the exercise. You have to do the practice. And we're trying to prepare people so that we can pass on to them a ministry of their own. The first thing is you have to have the teacher, someone that really understands what he's doing, and you have to have the student that desires to learn. The student has to be humble. It's a really hard thing to be taught. You have to admit that you don't know something. Too many times someone comes in and they're resistant to be the student. I don't want to teach, and I certainly don't want to learn. I just want to be here. I want to enjoy this new thing I found, which is salvation, and I'm not going to hell, and I got my ticket, and I don't want you to teach me anything. You're new in the Lord. I don't care how old you are. You need to learn some things.
Amen.
Not by accident do you have the wealth of the knowledge of God in you. And there's no pill that gives it. It's study to show thyself approved.
Amen.
Is to say, I'm going to learn what this brother has to teach. And I suggest to you young people, and when I say young people, I don't mean young in age. I mean young in desire to have a ministry. Doesn't matter if you're as old as dirt like Brother Johnny or as young as these youngins here. If you have a desire for a ministry, Look to someone who inspires you.
Amen.
Look to somebody that's got something that brother is, it just attracts me. That sister attracts me by their attitude and by their service. And go to them and say, I want to be taught. I want to see what it is. That ministry they have might not be for you, but that attitude would be.
Amen.
And that desire would be. You start there.
Amen.
Teacher, you need to be willing to put out the time. I can't imagine the amount of time it takes to prepare to teach 30 little kids in a classroom. I wouldn't have the patience for that. You're going to have some patience. So we need to stop and get together with a teacher and a person that wants to learn and start the process. And then you have to practice. And practice takes the word faithful. It's not just once in a while when I feel like it. It needs to be a schedule. Teacher, make a schedule. Student, demand. I need some time. And if you're, as a teacher, not willing to give the time, say, it's not for me and I'm out of here, and the Lord will deal with you. He's given you something. It's our responsibility to see that someone else has what we've been given.
Amen.
The third thing, let's see. Oh, in the practice, student, you're going to have to take some criticism. Not everything that you're going to think or want to do is going to be in line. You may not agree with the criticism, but take it. You put yourself in subjection, believe a teacher that you respect, take his criticism. See where he's coming from. And down the line, when you're on your own, you might see that doesn't fit you just right. It doesn't fit your personality, but you're there to be taught.
Right.
And take the teaching of this brother or sister that you've respected to ask to be your teacher. Take the criticism. Teacher, be careful of your criticism.
Amen.
Remember, you don't know anything, don't know everything either. And you need to realize that this other person has a different personality and a different way that they deal with things. And you got to work with that a little. The third thing, which takes diligence, is to dominate. And that's what we read in Galatians. You make it your ministry. You've done some learning. You've done some practice. Now make it yours to where you feel like you're comfortable in your ministry.
Amen.
If you're just forcing yourself, those that you deal with are going to see that you're just not comfortable in it. And you can tell in a minute when somebody is just in their groove, man. They just got it. And that young man that's with us that I preach with there, He hadn't been into the ministry a long time, but he can talk to people. It's got to where he has to preach first. Because if I go and start preaching, he's talking to somebody, he's there till midnight. And they just have a dialogue, and he's brought several into the meetings. One guy now comes faithfully, but he just got this way with him. And people I could never get to talk to me are just there spellbound talking to this guy. So he has to preach first so that he gets his preaching out of the way, and then he can talk to whoever he wants to. But you got to dominate. It's got to be your ministry, not the extension of your teacher. And teacher, you got to let them have their ministry. One thing that, as a teacher, if you're going into teaching, it takes more preparation to teach than it does to preach. Give somebody a good verse that's got a gift to gab, and he can touch your heart with that verse. But to actually know a subject to where you can explain it, where someone else can understand it, that takes work. And that's one thing that I've really been working on. It says we need teachers. So now we have a morning teaching and a morning, and then at first, and we have an open meeting, and then we have a morning preaching. We have a 3-hour service. And the guy in the beginning has to teach. He has to be interaction. He has to be a teacher or he gets criticized. And the ones that want to be a part of this that we're doing, they have to put their outline on our preaching page by Tuesday night, and the rest of us, all of the ones that preach and teach, go into that and give him suggestions and comments. These young guys are and I have to do it, and so does Noe. But the young guys, when they get a comment and they see it, and they preach and teach with much more confidence, because they're not just hoping somebody it goes along. They've actually had a chance to be criticized on it or to be encouraged on it. Now, and that's a good point, but did you think about this one? And you left out this verse, and they begin to learn how to build a message and keep on point. And they always have to have a conclusion. And that's been my low point is having a conclusion. I got this message. It's really great, and I'll figure out something while I'm preaching how to finish it. And you can tell when somebody doesn't have a conclusion because they run around in circles looking how to finish this thing. Watch it, brothers, when you preach, because they'll know now. The number four was the preparation to become a teacher yourself. And the fifth, we address the first teacher, and that is supporting his new student, who's now developed his ministry. He's now working his own ministry, and the word that comes to the teacher is flexibility. These each and every one of us has a different way that we're going to minister. What do you call a group of people that are pretty much in uniform and they only say what the leader says and nothing else?
A cult.
A cult. And so many times, without knowing it, those that have got some influence over someone else to try to help them in their ministry, try to form them in their own image. They need to be in the image of Christ, but not in the image of oneself. And it'll hurt sometimes. Because this is the best way to do it. That's the way I've always done it. Well, he don't fit that mold. She don't fit that mold. They'll take into something that, if it's led of the Lord, and support them. And that takes some humility. But you need to be flexible. Do you want him comfortable in his own ministry, or do you want him to copy you? And that's the question you have to ask. And the sixth thing is, the first teacher has to become teachable. These young guys that we're working with, they've really grown. And sometimes they say they have something that's a little off, or they're really doing well. Every time they preach or teach, I strive to find something I can say, thank you for that, that helped me. And they're doing it. I can't remember what it was now, but one of the first times they taught on something, and it was a thing I was struggling with, which way does that go? And he made an explanation and just solved the whole problem. And I was blessed by it, sincerely, and I let him know. You should see the confidence in that guy the next time he stood up to preach. He's not looking over to see if I'm in agreement. It helped that we've already seen his outline and we've already made comments. That helps. But then to know that you've said something that blesses the one that actually taught you. And if you find yourself in the position of a teacher, be looking for an opportunity to tell your student, that blessed me.
Amen.
Not bless me because you're trying, but bless me because you succeeded in blessing me. We need this whole thing to work.
Amen.
Or you have those that are so timid they won't take a place and they won't have a ministry. And then you start number seven, and that's where you start over. And now this student has done the rounds. He's become sufficient in his own ministry that he takes on a student and starts again. The first teacher, he's come around, and it may be time for him to step back into the student stage. Say, Lord's leading me in another direction. And as a student, that takes humility. But I was the teacher. No, God's got a different plan for you. And you don't shortcut it. Well, I can do that. I can do that. It may be quicker, but go through the steps. Say, what do I need to learn? I've made a lot of mistakes because I've done it this, and now I can do that. And I just, there's a little step there I forgot, like how to turn on the welder or something, you know. Or you don't weld wood, or, you know, it happens. As you go into a new ministry, learn it so that you don't make the mistakes. How many people dive into a ministry and they look back and say, boy, I wish we'd done it different. There's things we wish we'd done different in this city, in that city. Well, don't spend all your time studying, but don't dive off without having any preparation. And there's people that can help you. They might not tell you how to do your ministry, but they can tell you what they didn't like about their own. You'll learn a lot from other people's mistakes, and if they're willing to admit it. You've made a mistake, brother or sister, in your ministry, admit it. You know, we went down that road, and we saw some, but at the end, we said we should have went this way. Admit that. Help somebody. I'm concerned because I don't know of any work that started out glorious that lasted more than two generations. Where have all these great movements of the Lord that have been over the years, and where are they today? What happened in the Dark Ages when it was nothing? One generation didn't pass it to the next. Somebody didn't teach the next. Somebody didn't want to learn. There was a gap there. And that's happened over and over again through history. And you can name great works of the Lord that are done, and they've become nothing but a social club if they even exist. What's happened? There wasn't a practical, purposed, and planned passing it on. And when we hear about it being passed on in the news and all that, it's because Pastor so-and-so, the founder, died, and now his son has taken it over. And I'll give you names of those that did, and the guy that took it up, he didn't have the same conviction, he didn't have the same... We shouldn't wait till we're worn out to pass it on. We should be looking to pass it on. We shouldn't be satisfied with, this is my ministry and I'm here for life. Well, you know, the Lord had you trained in that first one to do the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one. I'd like you to evaluate yourself. Where should you be? Have you been here long enough in the Lord that you should now be a teacher? That you should have some that you're helping to be prepared for their ministry? If you're new in the Lord, or the Lord is just now touching your heart, find somebody that inspires you and say, brother, sister, I want to improve. Will you help me? And we'll see a growth in the church like very seldom you see. We need to grow. And you only grow if you're teaching and you're learning.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand. We're going to sing number 7. Thank you for that, Mike. Preaching the gospel also requires a little strategy. You got to think things through, and we're also going for the long term. We're not just doing a flash in the pan kind of thing. So we appreciate all that insight and that our missionaries have done. Let's sing number 70 to finish this out.